Well, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you can do amazing things, and we do pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts now. Amen. Well, Peter's already mentioned spring harvest, but a couple of weeks ago, he and Katrina and my family were there, and it really was quite wonderful. There's a couple of pictures. Thousands of Christians gathering together in sunny Skegness. And it was sunny, actually. It was quite nice. We had all the meeting rooms to use and the big top there, and you can see all the gathering there, people getting ready to worship God. While we were there, we really saw God at work in people's lives. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, the amazing things that God can do in people's lives. I want to speak about an amazing opportunity and also a tough challenge. Let me start by telling you one of the true stories I heard at Spring Harvest. It's a little bit disturbing, but a good outcome. A number of years ago, quite a few years ago, there were two young men, and they both wanted to join the army. But not just one of the normal units in the army, they wanted to be in one of those special units like the SAS. They wanted to be tough men of war. The problem is they didn't know if they could actually go through with it and kill somebody in war. And as they thought about this, their minds just became full of evil. And they thought, well, we need to try this out. Let's go up to London, find a criminal like a drug dealer, and we'll kill him. Horrible idea. But they did it. They went off to London. They searched for a criminal, but they could not find a criminal. So they hired a cab. And they actually ended up killing the poor, innocent taxi driver. And it was such an awful, brutal thing that they did that when they were arrested, people just hoped they'd be locked up and the key thrown away. Even the Christian speaker said he heard the story at the time and just thought, I hope these guys never get out. There's no hope for men like this. But God can do amazing things. In prison, one of the killers heard the Christian message, the gospel. He encountered the risen Lord Jesus. And by encountering Jesus, he realized that Jesus had died for all of his sins, even that most brutal act of cold-blooded murder. Jesus had paid the punishment for it. And he realized that Jesus was alive today. Jesus was calling him to trust him, calling him to be forgiven, calling him to have his life completely changed, calling him to follow Jesus as his Lord and his new boss. And so the man prayed. He asked Jesus for forgiveness for those awful crimes. He committed his life to the risen Jesus. He started to follow Jesus, and his life was totally transformed. He was released from prison and he started doing good for others, working hard to do good. God can do the most amazing things when anybody, you, me, even a murderer, encounters Jesus. This same Jesus who died and then rose from the dead, we too can be forgiven and transformed. And that's the gospel message. It's a stunning message. It gives us an amazing opportunity and a tough challenge. Now, the story I've just told is really quite similar to what we just heard in our Bible reading about this chap, Saul. We know him better as Paul. It's a true story. And the thing about Saul, he's just like that guy joining the army, or who wanted to join the army. In our Bible reading, we read how it starts off. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He wanted to kill Christians. And even worse, he thought he'd be doing God a favour by going out to do that. We see people like that at the moment, don't we? We see people running off to join Islamic State. People who want to be suicide bombers and walk into the airport in Brussels. They think they're doing God a favour, but they're completely deluded. But Paul was like that. Just like one of these young men running off to join IS, he was a terrorist. And we wonder, can anybody like that be saved? Can anyone with murder in their hearts be changed? Well, yes, they can if they meet the risen Lord Jesus. So that we see it happening with Saul. Here he is, getting permission from the chief priest to go and arrest the Christians of Damascus. He wants to kidnap them and drag them back to Jerusalem. But what happens? He heads off to Damascus, and as he approaches there, he's full of bad thoughts. But as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." This man, Saul, is changed forever. From this point on, he dedicated his life to helping others and telling them about the immeasurable love of Jesus. This experience doesn't have to be limited to Paul or somebody in prison. Any of us can experience Jesus and be changed into new people. People we know out in Elmswell or in our family can be changed completely for the better by encountering the risen Jesus. As we realise truly and hear that Jesus is alive today, that he has destroyed death forever, when we realise he's calling us just to give our lives to him, we can be changed forever. All that's past is just wiped clean, and we discover that God loves us. We discover that we're valued by God. And we discover that God actually wants to use us for his glory. He wants to use us for the power of good in the world. I just wonder if there's maybe somebody here who's thinking in their heart, "Well, not me. I've got nothing to give God. God could never use me, maybe because of something I've done in the past, or maybe just because I've got nothing to give." But what did Paul have to give God? Nothing but hate. But God turned him around. Or when we think of the story of the feeding of the 5,000, what did the little boy with his packed lunch have to give? A few loaves of bread, 2 fish. But in God's hands, anything can happen. In verse 15, Jesus says this about Saul. "Go, this man Saul is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Your God can use anybody. Do we believe that? I opened with that story of the man who killed the taxi driver. He thought he was way too evil to be used by God. But God forgave him. Jesus said, "Follow me," and he did, and Jesus is using him to do amazing things for his kingdom. And that was the point, really, with the vinegar and the bicarb. And let me assure you, if we had put too much in there, that bloom would have just gone up. But that's what God can do for us. Nothing's too hard for God. He can take the little we have to offer and do the most marvellous things. So let's commit ourselves afresh to Jesus this morning. The risen Lord Jesus, who can do more than we ask or imagine. He's got great works lined up for all of us. And it doesn't matter what age we are. We can't think, "Oh, I'm too old to be used by God now." Moses didn't really get started till he was 80. So John, you've got plenty of things lined up for you in 5 years' time. Our verse, of course, for the year is this. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, the key is not to try and do anything in our power. If we do things in our power, we will fail. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But look, if we stay in the vine, if we stay in Jesus, you will bear much fruit. That's a promise. God can equip us. So that's the wonderful opportunity. But when God works in somebody's life, there can be a tough challenge. And this brings us to poor Ananias. I say poor Ananias, I mean, I would not have liked to have been in his shoes. Now just put yourself in Ananias' shoes. There you are, in first century Damascus. You are a religious minority. And you've just heard that the dreaded Saul of Tarsus is on his way. He's going to seek you out and arrest you and drag you to Jerusalem. Suddenly, you hear Jesus speaking to you. And you think, wow, this is amazing. Maybe God has come to help us in our plight. But what does Jesus say in verse 11? Ah, Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Can you imagine poor Ananias? He's quaking in his boots. I would be. Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. I mean, I think they reported that that guy in IS, the one who was beheading everyone, Jihadi John, I think they said he'd been killed. But let's just imagine he had not been killed. What have we found out? That he was coming to join us at St. John's next week. They'd become a Christian. Could we openly accept him? Could we go up and embrace him and say, hello, dear brother, knowing what he's done? That's the challenge. God can change anyone, but would we be prepared to accept them? The Christian speaker at Spring Harvest, he said that that taxi driver, the man who had killed the taxi driver, he remembered the case and he thought, there's no hope for this man. Suddenly, he finds the man is in his congregation. He had to forgive him and love him as a brother in Christ. It was a tough challenge. But wow, the man really had been transformed. And so here we see Ananias going to meet Paul. Paul who'd be used for good in the future and do amazing things for God. As we close, we need to think, isn't it great that Jesus can transform anybody, that he can forgive people like us, that he can call you and me into his kingdom? Isn't it amazing that God can use us to do wonderful things with just the little we have to offer? We need to fall down and worship the risen Jesus and give him our all. An amazing opportunity lies ahead for each one of us. But the challenge, when we find ourselves in the shoes of Ananias, will we forgive others and embrace them as our Christian brothers and sisters, no matter what they've done in the past? Let's just remember that with the help of Jesus, we can, because our God is with us always. Well, let's pray to that God. It'll just allow the Spirit to keep ministering to us. Lord, just refresh us with the power of your Spirit. Help us to recommit ourselves to you. You can do the most amazing things. Help us to just offer our all to you. And take the little we have to offer and do amazing things. and help us to embrace all our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what their past has done. Because you call sinners into your kingdom and change them for the better. Amen.